This is 103.3 WZND's Bird's Eye View, here to give you a comprehensive look at the Bloomington Normal community's most important issues. Investigative reporting from the award-winning WZND News Team, here for you. Unbiased, engaging, and comprehensive. Bird's Eye View starts now.
Hello and welcome to the February edition of Bird's Eye View. In this month's episode, we're taking a deep dive into the entire political spectrum of McLean County. We'll hear about the political climate of McLean County, both Republican and Democratic views, libertarianism, and the farther ends of each side of the spectrum. I'm your Bird's Eye View producer, Colleen Holden.
I'm your co-host, Gavin Broderick.
And I'm your other co-host, Ben Howell.
How are you guys doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for asking.
I'm also doing fantastic. This topic is sure to be interesting as of how relevant the political spectrum is before the primary elections.
Glad to hear it. We have a great show coming up shortly, but before we begin, we need to take a quick break. You're listening to Bird's Eye View on 103.3 WZND.
This is WZND's Bird's Eye View.
Welcome back to Bird's Eye View. This month's topic is on the political spectrum in McLean County.
The political spectrum of a given area depends on many factors, and not one area is the same as another. The spectrum also changes over time, and it's necessary to understand the area itself before tackling its most important issues, parties, and candidates.
Before we get started, we need to understand what the political spectrum looks like in McLean County. WCND's Jameson Warfield has more.
As candidates prepare for the 2024 election, McLean County is also in the midst of a debate over how this election might change the political spectrum in Bloomington Normal. Carrie Melita, Associate Political Science Professor here at Illinois State, had this to say on the stability of the political spectrum in McLean County.
So political ideology, which is really just the extent to which the people that live in an area are liberal or conservative, it's fairly stable. It does change over time, little fluctuations. There's some cyclical changes in ideology, but for the most part, it's not, you don't see dramatic changes in ideology.
Melita is confident in both the stability of the political spectrum and the McLean County voters' views on political polarization. She looks at how the rhetoric of political elites might influence people in the community.
In terms of how has ideology been changing, it certainly has at the elite level. We've seen pretty severe polarization on the left and the right, but that's not that the same cannot be said for, you know, the average American. That polarization is not occurring at just the, you know, everyday person on the street level.
While the spectrum is stable in McLean County, the community has a wide array of ideological viewpoints. Melita discusses how where you are in McLean County might influence where you fall on the spectrum.
Of course, you have the large population centers like Bloomington Normal, you know, the universities, which tend to be left of center, but the surrounding rural areas are a bit more right. But when you average all those together, you end up with a county that's fairly centrist but right-leaning.
Melita discusses the values that are important to voters in McLean County and the main thing both sides of the spectrum can find common ground on.
You know, the economy is one of those mainstay issues. Of course, the left and the right are going to differ in how they approach to solving the problem. But I think that's, you know, economic opportunity, economic prosperity, or maybe, you know, for a lot of people, just economic survival, that's something that we all have in common right now.
For WZND and Bird's Eye View, I'm Jameson Warfield.
Throughout the show, we will be talking all about the political spectrum. On the right side of the spectrum, we have the political right. On the left, you'll never guess. But the spectrum also includes authoritarian ideologies on the top and libertarian ideologies at the bottom.
The Libertarian Party defines themselves as seeking a world of liberty, and their principles reflect their beliefs on individual rights and the protection of individuals as well, including self-ownership, privacy, and personal relationships.
WZND's Kaylee Sugimoto sat down with Kevin Woodard, a representative from the McLean County Libertarian Party, about what libertarian looks like in the greater Bloomington Normal area.
With a commitment to individual liberty, limited government intervention, and free market principles, the Libertarian Party has long stood as a voice advocating for personal freedom and financial responsibility. Although libertarian philosophy remains throughout the party, ideas and values range. Kevin Woodard is the chair for the McLean County Libertarian Party. He shares what he believes a libertarian is and what the party's main values are.
Well, the Libertarian Party is based on what's a philosophy, and that's a philosophy of libertarianism. Libertarians believe in a minimal government. For the most part, some believe in no government at all. I'm what's called a mini anarchist, which means I would like to see smaller governments, but significantly smaller than what we have.
The Libertarian Party gives voters and citizens a brief look outside of the classic two-party system we see in America today. Woodard spoke on the nuances of the Libertarian Party and the differences in beliefs based on where a party member leans, liberal or conservative.
Just like the state is seen as parts of it being blue or red, and the Libertarian reclaim the color gold, and there are some parts of the state where Libertarians may be more conservative and other parts of the state where they may be more liberal.
Because identifying as Libertarian is not as common as being Democrat or Republican, there are many misconceptions that the public has about the party. Woodard shared what those false impressions are.
One was that, you know, we're all a bunch of potheads, to use that term, and we don't like that term. We like talking about cannabis, which is the politically correct term to use. And that's not true. There may be a lot of Libertarians that use. Some Democrats think we're like many Republicans, or sometimes they think we're Republicans with a heart, which is kind of interesting.
Within the state of Illinois, Woodard believes that Libertarians stand differently on many different issues. He shared what those issues are based on where they live.
In the rural areas of Illinois, or down south, you might see an issue like gun control and Libertarians being against any governmental control of guns. In the north part of the state, say around Chicago area, it may be the gay rights or legalized marijuana or whatever it might be.
Even though Libertarians are among regular voters, Woodard says that Libertarian philosophy is so uniquely interpreted by each individual that it's difficult to get everybody on the same page. Because of the two-party system that exists today, it's difficult for them to stand alone on political issues without being compared to Democrats and Republicans. Woodard shares his own political journey and how every Libertarian differs in theirs.
I left the conservatives because of Trump. I certainly don't want to see him get reelected. Libertarians, for example, would agree that January 6th was unacceptable. And then it comes down to this whole thing about Democrats and Republicans in many ways being so alike. To the extent that they try to stop any third party from getting any base going, till we stop what we call the duopoly, we'll get the same thing, the same back and forth, back and forth.
For Bird's Eye View, I'm Kaylee Sugimoto.
In many ways, the Libertarians are unique in the United States political sphere. They seem to be the only third party who has widespread recognition. The other third party that comes to mind is the Green Party, but they are more fringe than Libertarians.
There's still plenty more to talk about today. You're listening to Bird's Eye View on 103.3 WZND.
News now on 103.3 WZND.
Welcome back. You're listening to Bird's Eye View on 103.3 WZND. If you're just now tuning in, this month's focus is on the political spectrum of McLean County. So far, we've discussed the demographic of the county, as well as the local Libertarian Party.
The population of college campuses tends to lean further to the left. However, ISU's student base in the greater Bloomington-Normal area do, in fact, have a population of Republican-identifying citizens. WZND's Brayden Fogerson has more.
The Republican Party now is far different from what it looked like at the turn of the new millennium. Though typically thought of as having a base of an older demographic, many people born during the Bush administration grew up to become eager to engage in politics when President Trump took over as leader of the Republican Party. President of College Republicans at Illinois State, Kobe Blair, cut his teeth in politics starting with the 2016 election.
I didn't really know all that much about it, but I knew kind of vaguely what I like to see, things like that. So I really started getting personally involved when I came to ISU.
Though Blair didn't come to college in hopes of starting a career in politics, he did become involved. Blair helped with Esther Joy King and Scott Preston's campaigns during the 2022 midterms and became involved in ISU's Student Government Association. To Blair, problems with how Washington balances the budget have continued for decades, and he believes the blame is to be shared by both parties.
The Trump administration was not as disciplined as it should have been, and we went from in the year 2000 having a balanced budget, having a surplus, being able to maybe start paying down our debt. And right now the situation with that is just so bad, over $30 trillion. When I came to ISU, it was $20 trillion. That's like $10 trillion in just a few years. We can't keep that up.
Disappointment over budget spending has become a common complaint among Republicans since long before Blair's generation became involved. A sentiment that Blair does not share with many older Republicans is what cuts he would like to see to correct the issue.
We need to reduce the military budget. Yeah, I believe in zero-based budgeting, which essentially what that means is you justify every expense you have, and what you expense last year does not guarantee that you'll expend it again this year. And I think the government in whole needs to do that. And I think if people today believed that the government was responsible with their money, we'd have a lot more confidence in our public system.
The Republican Party has a wide range of ideas that members believe in, and that holds true for college Republicans as well. As president, Blair sets up events called Candidates Nights. The event works as an opportunity for college students to get to know those running in local races.
There's two things with that. Number one, we actually get to see the candidates. We can ask them questions, learn more about what they're running on. And number two, if there are members who are wanting to get involved, there are internships they can get in. Sometimes it's paid internships. So you can go around the community knocking doors, dropping off literature. People do phone banking. People help set up events for candidates.
In addition to the symbiotic relationship between college Republicans and local candidates, Blair says the organization also holds events with McLean County Republicans. For WZND and Bird's Eye View, I'm Braden Fogerson.
As the most popular party in McLean County, the McLean County Republicans hold a lot of influence. It was interesting to hear how the party has shifted not only since 2016, but since the early 2000s.
The unique experience of the College Republicans was insightful. Their events like meeting candidates and getting students involved is something that transcends more than just their party. On the opposite side of the spectrum, you can guess which party is waiting now. WZND's Allison Patrick spoke with Patrick Cortese, the chair of the McLean County Democratic Party, to hear more about their values and history.
The McLean County Democrats are dedicated to electing Democrats at all levels across the county while building the most active, inclusive, and diverse party. Patrick Cortese, chair of the organization, talks about addressing local issues. The party headquarters are located in downtown Bloomington.
We're a big tent, diverse party that's really grown in number and in effectiveness lately because of our focus on addressing local issues and concerns.
Cortese explains those ideas further in detail. The Democrats possess values and principles that they stand up for.
Viewpoint of what we stand for, we can break that down into individual things. A woman's right to choose, her freedom to make that choice, her right to privacy, you know, when she does make that choice. We believe in preserving our environment. We're really proud that McLean County has become the green energy capital of the state. We look forward to continuing that. We believe in supporting our institutions, not attacking them. We tend to have a positive vision for what McLean County is. While our opposition are busy trying to keep people out of McLean County, we're welcoming everybody and think they have a role to play in making our county as best as it can be.
Cortese's work at the McLean County Democrats is influenced by his background and past experiences.
Some of that has to do with my upbringing. My mom was a social activist, so I learned a lot of these values from her. And in where I grew up in the Chicago area and then moved down here almost 30 years ago. So just with some of the life experiences that I've had, I think it's important to I've seen folks struggle. I've struggled, and I know people who are struggling now, and so I think it's important that we do everything we can to give them a helping hand and to give everybody that chance to be successful.
McLean County has a vast amount of history within the surrounding areas.
It's hard to pin down the exact date we started, but it's nearly 100 years. We were talking, I did some research at the Museum of History, and we found pictures of Franklin Roosevelt campaigning here in the 1930s on the west side of Bloomington. So I would say at least that long.
The community has the opportunity to get involved with this party in several ways.
We have a monthly meeting of our central committee where guests are welcome. That's on the second Wednesday of every month at our headquarters, and then we tend to do a lot of events. We always host a First Friday. We do some other community events. We love having our headquarters in downtown Bloomington.
Cortese reiterates the importance of the values and principles the McLean County Democrats believe in. According to Cortese, people in the organization may have different perspectives on ideas and different ways to go about it, but at the end of the day, they all want the same thing. For Bird's Eye View, I'm Allison Petrick.
It was really interesting to hear about how these local political organizations feel about national issues like green energy and women's rights.
It was also nice to hear about the locality of this national party and more about their history. Cortese's personal history was also great to listen to and reflect on how our own upbringings reflect our later views. We have more about the political spectrum of McLean County after this. You're listening to Bird's Eye View on 103.3 WZND.
News now on 103.3 WZND.
Welcome back. If you're just now tuning into Bird's Eye View on 103.3 WZND, this month's focus is the political spectrum in McLean County. As mentioned earlier, the political climate of the Bloomington-Normal area is very fluid, switching from center-right to center-left depending on where you look.
We've talked about the center-right, the center-left, and libertarians. For the rest of the show, we're going to take a look at some more controversial sides of the political spectrum. WZND's Logan O'Brien talked with Turning Point here at ISU.
Turning Point is a conservative-based political party that's in favor of limited government and supports the ideas of conservatism. Riley Waisler, the president of Turning Point's chapter here at ISU, explains what the core beliefs of Turning Point are.
The message Turning Point wants to broadcast nationally is that we believe in freedom, limited government, and free market. Here at ISU, the message from our chapter is still the same. The difference is that we want to get people like in the conservative movement and in the movement in general, but we don't endorse candidates or anything like that. So it separates us from the GOP and the college Republicans. And so we just basically promote the ideals of conservatives and conservatism as a whole.
Waisler believes Turning Point falls further to the right because their values are not congruent with that of the left.
In terms of politics, we can't really get involved in, you know, endorsing candidates, but in the political sphere, you know, we're definitely more right-leaning because we're conservatives and we believe in limited limited government, free markets, and freedom. And so free speech and all that stuff, you know, the left may not like all that stuff, so automatically that throws us on the right.
Waisler feels like Turning Point is out of place at ISU due to the fact that the general university populace leans left. With founder Charlie Kirk being a name often seen in headlines, Waisler believes that the media is liberally slanted and portrays Kirk and Turning Point in an unfair light.
I think the media plays a huge role in changing people's perspective on these things, and so automatically there's already a bias against TP. So on campus, it's pretty evident that the campus is mostly liberal, pretty much entirely liberal. And this is the truth of it. Like, we're fighting an uphill battle here on campus. But in general, I think that most of the news and mainstream media is pretty much biased to the left. So is social media. And so people's outlook on TP is going to be biased against it. And so I think while TP has a mission to preserve America and conservatism and all that stuff, I think that it's negatively affected by all these things.
For Bird's Eye View, I'm Logan O'Brien.
Being a more niche or fringe political group is difficult. People don't understand you, and it's hard for these individuals to properly stand up for what they believe in, mainly because of their fear of the social repercussions.
As for Turning Point, their mission also involves recruiting students on college campuses and universities. They are an active and exciting organization for young people who want to become more involved in conservative politics. The key difference is where the GOP sometimes divides itself on issues and candidates, TP aligns itself more with former President Trump's Republican Party. Pivoting left on the spectrum, our very own Gavin Broderick spoke with another authoritarian group, the Young Democratic Socialists of America.
Socialism, the left-wing ideology that is either a really great idea or the downfall of society, depending on who you ask. The most neutral way to describe socialism is the idea that community resources should be owned or regulated by the community. But socialism means different things depending on where you live. Deja Sims is the president of the Young Democratic Socialists here at ISU. She talks about the fundamental values her organization holds.
We hold the values of exercising our civil rights, whether that means having access to voting polls. We also have a very strong focus on social justice, things like feminism, supporting racial groups like Black Lives Matter, supporting LGBTQ plus people.
Of course, socialists also believe in economic reform.
We also focus on economical reforms, moving further away, as we can, away from capitalism. We focus mostly on worker ownership, workers' rights, labor unions, understanding that you can form a union and basically a bargaining tool for laborers.
Socialism isn't the most popular idea here in the United States. Pew Research shows that positive views of socialism has dropped from 42 to 36% from 2019 to 2022. Sims talks about the misconception that socialists are entitled, that they just want things to be handed to them. Sims says her story is an example of how capitalism fails lower-income families.
In my case, I grew up watching my mom work two jobs at one point. My father works multiple jobs. I come from a background where no matter how hard you work, it kind of seems like you're still stuck in the same place.
Socialism is far from the most popular ideology in McLean County, but that doesn't discourage them from being active. Sims talks about how YDSA interacts with the community, specifically when the town of Normal discussed refusing social services to undocumented migrants.
When the discussion about limiting migrants' access to health care or any other public service was being talked about, you saw a lot of us out there kind of clashing with Republicans saying, hey, that's not okay to limit people's rights because they are undocumented. They're still people regardless.
For Bird's Eye View, I'm Gavin Broderick.
Compared to other extreme parties, socialism is one of those groups that has a negative connotation. Since it's both a form of economic and governmental reform, most people are concerned with changing the status quo of capitalism. However, this piece helped us understand that we have some ideas that aren't that far off from what we already have, like workers' unions and their ownership of companies.
As we've seen today, there's a lot that goes into each political party's belief system, but all of them are present and passionate in our area. That wraps up this month's edition of Bird's Eye View. If you've missed any part of today's show, you can head over to WZND.com to listen to the full show right after this. Thank you for listening to Bird's Eye View.
This has been WZND's Bird's Eye View. Catch more WZND in-depth news every Sunday at noon with WZND's Second Look and Bird's Eye View. For previous episodes, find Bird's Eye View on the podcast tab at WZND.com.